I also have a problem with him being like 5'8".
Oh, yeah.
You know, and just enough past middle age that I did not take him seriously as a bad guy at all.
Yeah. Now, you thought he'd be bigger.
If you.
The network children ask for it by name. The Defenestrict Media Network.
What happens when mixtapes meet memes? This is Gen Zex. Join J.M. Bell and Braxton Bunnell as they break down the news, music, movies, trends, and moments that shape Gen X and the world Gen Z is creating right now. We're judging the worlds that raised us, from landlines to smartphones. This is Gen Zex, the culture that was versus the culture that's trending.
You are listening to the world's greatest multi-generational pop culture podcast, Gen Zex, with me and my good buddy Braxton.
Hello.
Hey, buddy.
It's so good to be back.
It is very good to be back. I missed you.
I missed you. This is always just such a fun experience at the end of the week.
I do enjoy it myself. I do. What's new? I went and saw the Spider-Man.
Okay, my friend Jake is going to see that tonight.
I have to tell you.
He went and saw it last night.
It was quite good.
That's what I've been hearing. I saw that it made $800 million in its opening weekend and was subsequently not shocked, but then looked at the reviews and saw that people were enjoying it.
Yeah, it starts at a pretty sedate pace, mm-hmm. and then builds and builds and builds and builds until the last half is just action packed.
Okay,
and the first half has action in it. You know, mm-hmm. make no mistake, but I'm just saying it's a slower build. It's actually laying down and telling a story. It's not based on things getting punched.
Okay.
So I really did. I and the spoiler? Gigantic.
Okay. As someone who has not seen a Marvel project since Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania...
took you off your oats, did it?
Huh?
I said it took you off your oats, did it? Mm-hmm. Oh, Quantumania, eh? That's the last one of these I'll see.
Well, I went and saw it. I saw it for free because it was we got invited to like an early screening.
Yeah.
And I saw it, and I remember liking. I remember liking it well enough. I can't remember Jonathan Majors, I believe his name is, who played Kang. I liked him before all the allegations.
Oh yeah, me too.
And shit. And he was cool as Kang in that movie. I mean, he was cool as Kang in the Loki series.
Oh, where, when so he played fucking good.
Immortus.
Yeah.
And so I was really excited for like all the Kang stuff. And then, you know, he turned out to be a really shitty person.
Yeah.
And so rightfully got canned from everything.
Yes. Which is how we got Robert Downey Jr. back as Doom.
Which I take severe umbrage with and I am still very upset about.
give it. I'm going to give it. I'm not upset. I'm confused. But I've decided that at my age, especially when dealing with electronics, I need to get used to that feeling.
I need
a young person to teach me Snapchat.
But yeah, so I don't know. I will probably see Doomsday when it comes out. My reigning theory is that this is not actually Victor Von Doom. This is multiverse shit. This is some universe where Tony never died, and so he eventually became Doom. So that's my theory.
It's got cross-dimensional travel because We have the arrival of the Fantastic Four, who nobody knows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I don't know. You might be onto something.
So, I have a feeling that there will be some kind of, like, either in the movie or in an after credits, like, hey, this is the real Doom, and now he's coming.
And boy, is he pissed.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I don't know. But I in September, we get a retconned Endgame in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm absolutely going to go see that just because I love that movie.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see what the Russo brothers stuck in there. And another reason that I'm not that worried about it is because it's the Russo brothers.
Yeah.
And they were so respectful with the IP the first time they had it.
Mm-hmm.
That I have a feeling they wouldn't go sideways and wonky being given another chance to, you know, to make an epic Marvel.
Yeah, I guess it just depends on how much creative freedom they're given.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I'm going to see it. But my original question, as a person who hasn't seen anything Marvel since Quantumania.
Oh, yes.
Can I go see this without having to watch, like, 3 years of Marvel?
No, I would say watch the Tom Holland Spider-Mans.
Okay.
You know,
I've seen those. Okay. I guess I saw. Okay. So I saw Far From Home.
Yeah.
Or No Way Home. Way Home Machine Broke. Whatever it was.
The one with Doctor Strange.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Then you're all caught up.
Okay. Cool. Sweet. All right. Yeah. Then I'll go see it.
Okay.
No, mine was I finally saw The Backrooms.
I've heard of it. I've wanted to see that forever.
I'm a huge fan of the YouTube series. I've been following the YouTube series since like 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I will say, if you have seen the series, the movie is much more rewarding because there's a lot of stuff that ties in, and you'll know a lot of like what Async is and all that.
Yeah.
That's not a spoiler. You see their logo. It's the first thing you see in the movie is their logo.
Okay.
But if you haven't seen any of it, you can watch it as a standalone and it's still fantastic.
Oh, good.
I will say Tiffany cannot watch this one.
I had a feeling.
Yes.
Okay.
I had one of my friends tell me that it was not gory, and by my standards, it is not. but by someone who cannot handle that, it absolutely is.
That's her, man.
Yeah, which sucks because there's some really cool practical effects. Like the entire set was a 30,000 square foot set. It was so big that the crew members got lost on it several times.
I love it.
And like a lot of the like suits are practical, like the big bad, the big monster.
Mm-hmm.
His suit is practical. A lot of the just the weird people or copies of people you see in there are practical suits.
Okay.
And so it's fantastic. It's so good. I highly recommend it to anybody who is a fan of horror or very weird movies, because it is very weird.
It's not streaming yet.
No, I mean, you can rent it. But no, it's not streaming yet. It just left theaters like a month or so ago.
Okay. Well, anyway, new Spider-Man's great.
Okay.
It really I will check is. It out. Everybody in it is amazing. In John Bernthal's in it as Punisher. And
let me tell you something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's just a delight. I was delighted the whole time. Mm-hmm. Tiffany felt at the beginning was a little slow, but by the end she was pretty excited as well.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I really did. And I went and saw The Odyssey too.
Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks back. And maybe it's because it wasn't on IMAX, but I'm not having the religious experience that a lot of people are having seeing this movie. It was a good movie. It was a solid retelling of The Odyssey. You know, I remembered all the parts in the reading.
I guarantee it's still not the best retelling of The Odyssey.
Probably not. But, you know, Matt Damon looked just fucking Jason Bourne as shit in it. You know, it was, I enjoyed it, but I did not find it life changing. So if I get a chance, you know, I'll try and see it in, you know, 4:3 or whatever that IMAX 70 millimeter IMAX format, but not until it's streaming.
Yeah, that's fair.
So my hope is that they do, that they stream it, you know, oddly the way Snyder did the fucking black and white Justice League. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, unfortunately, my favorite adaptation of the Odyssey is still "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?" So
that's fair. This was more of a literal retelling. Yeah, just a bit. But yeah, I'm with you on "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?" That's a brilliant movie. Okay, let's have you go first this week. What do you say?
Yes, let's talk about some movies that are old but still good. Older but still good.
Okay.
So we're gonna go back to 2013 for mine.
Oh, so long ago.
So long ago. The military deposed President Mohamed Morsi of Egypt on July. The military deposed President Mohamed Morsi on July 3rd. There we go. Installing an interim leader following a massive anti-government protest in Egypt. Mm-hmm. Catherine, Duchess of Cambridge, gave birth to Prince George of Wales at St. Mary's Hospital, London, on July 22nd. Croatia officially joined the European Union on July 1st as its 28th member state.
Okay.
Topping the Billboard charts in July of 2013, you had Blurred Lines, which I believe we've talked about before, how that song is icky.
Yeah, the song is icky, and the video makes me, frankly, wildly uncomfortable.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
Number two, which should have been number one, Get Lucky by Daft Punk and Pharrell Williams.
I did like that one.
Mm-hmm. I love Daft Punk. I've loved Daft Punk forever. And I thought Random Access Memories was such a fantastic album.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
Also topping the charts, we have We Can't Stop by Miley Cyrus, Radioactive by Imagine Dragons, and Can't Hold Us by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis.
I know all of those songs. I know all of those songs. That's, yeah. That's just so you know. I realized that was like 13 years ago, but I did. I recognized all of those references. Pray continue. I apologize.
Oh, you're fine. Topping the box office for July of 2013, we have Despicable Me 2 grossing $313 million. Second place goes to Grown Ups 2, third with The Heat, fourth with The Conjuring, and fifth, my pick for this week, Pacific Rim.
Oh, I remember that movie.
I remember, so me and my siblings were still we were too young to really I couldn't drive, so I couldn't take them anywhere. We couldn't really go and do anything on our own during the summer. My aunt used to come pick us up once a week, and she would take us to do something. And sometimes it was the zoo. Sometimes it was we would go to the library for a while, sometimes a pool. And my favorite times were the dollar movie theater.
Okay. Yeah.
And that is where I saw Pacific Rim, because I had not gotten to pick the movie in several weeks. And so I picked Pacific Rim, and I was not disappointed at all. I adore this movie. It is not a perfect movie. It has some problems, namely with the characters and how some of them are just there to talk for a bit and die. But, I mean, fantastic cast. Idris Elba as Stacker Pentecost. He was amazing.
Okay.
Charlie Hunnam as Raleigh, I believe they pronounce it.
I like Charlie a lot, and I wish he was in more stuff lately. I don't know what he's doing. I just he popped up in what was it? For shit's sake, Belle, The Gentleman.
Oh, yes.
Yes. That's the last time I remember seeing him. I know he's done more, but that's the last time I remember seeing him and loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who else? We got Charlie Day as Newt.
That was good.
Dr. Newt Geisler. We got Bern Gorman as Gottlieb. And then Ron Perlman shows up for a little bit.
Yep.
And his character's amazing.
Yes.
And then who is the gal? Rinko Kikuchi played Mako, Mako Mori.
She was good.
She was really good. She was fantastic. The monsters are all amazing. They're super cool. I remember I was working at Toys R Us in, man, like 2018. And we were, yeah, 2018, 2019. And we were going through the back room and we found a couple like NECA Pacific Rim figures.
Nice.
That had just been forgotten. And I'm so mad at myself that I didn't buy them because those figures are the secondary market. They're like $200 a pop.
Aww.
But the star of the show, the Jaegers,
yes,
are so unbelievably cool.
I have to agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's so clear to me that Guillermo del Toro had a very specific vision for how these monsters were going to look and how these mechs were going to look.
Yes.
And they are played out so well. To a point where watching the movie still, you can see all the mechanical bits of the mechs moving and changing. And like with Gypsy Danger, it's got that big nuclear core in the front, which is a really dumb place for the center, like power core.
Yep. Yep.
But it does look really cool.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. And it's painted to look like an old bomber. It's got the pinup girl on the chest. My favorite Jaeger does, however, go to, it's the Russian one, Cherno Alpha, that looks like a big nuclear reactor.
Yes. Yes. I remember laughing when I saw that one.
Mm-hmm. Or the, what's the one? It's the one that's controlled by three pilots because it has three arms.
I don't know their names.
I used to know all of the names.
But it's been a minute?
Yeah, it's been a minute. I used to be super in love with Pacific Rim, but now to the level I was with Godzilla.
Ah.
But now Godzilla has just surpassed that, and it's not even close. Crimson Typhoon. That's what it was.
Okay. Okay. Now, I remember this movie, and I was excited when I found out it was Idris Elba because I'm a big fan. And, you know, then everybody else that you mentioned showed up and it was good. And I love a good monster movie. Mm-hmm. I love a good giant monster movie. I like the kaiju. I've loved them since I was a kid. And the idea of fighting kaiju with giant robots tickles me, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm a big fan of Voltron.
Oh, yeah.
Have been since I was a kid. So I remember really, really enjoying this movie. But again, for me, it didn't send me into a cult status. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, because that first movie, the second movie, take it or leave it.
No, I pretend that second one never happened.
I'm that way with Highlander.
This is a solo franchise in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and that's just, it's, and it's like, you're not the only friend of mine that was mildly obsessed with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Charles was too. Big Pacific Rim fan.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe it was a passing fancy.
Mm-hmm.
But give him a hug. He'll tell you all about it. And sure. Charles loves hugs. He's a big fan.
He's a real hugger.
Okay. All right. I digress. Back to it, sir.
But yeah, I mean, it's like I said, the story is there's not much to write home about. It's a very classic, like, hero's journey. You get the denial of the call, and then he shows up, and then he faces adversity, and he questions if he can do it. He loses his brother. And then he's got to come back stronger, and then he saves the day. He gets the girl. But there are a couple like standout character performances in this movie that just kind of like elevate it, like Idris Elba's and with Charlie Day. I feel like their performances are honestly just kind of out of place for this story because they're just really good.
So was Ron Perlman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, granted, it was playing a stereotypical Ron Perlman type part.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was just playing. He was like an amped up version of whatever his character was in Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah. Yeah. But I remember something about his shoes. Didn't he have fancy shoes?
Yes. His shoes, I believe they had a knife blade in them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, nice. I remember. I love the scene of him going over to the baby kaiju, and then he kind of like stabs it with his knife and says that it's dead, and it wakes up and eats him.
I forgot that part. That's pretty funny.
But yeah, I mean, I don't really have a ton to say about this movie. This movie was just, when I saw it, I was just enamored. This was, if there was a movie that made me want to make movies, it was this one.
Oh.
Like this, every time I watch this movie, I don't know what it is about it. I just get that urge to just create something.
I love that. I want to watch a movie that makes me want to feel that way. It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt the exact same way about when I watched The Backrooms.
Okay.
I finished that movie and I just had this urge to like make something. I turned to my friend Tim and I started talking to him about some animations that he's working on and how I can help.
Ah.
And then we started talking about a comic book that he wants to do.
Fun.
And so, yeah, this movie is very important to me because it is my ultimate, I'm having a bad time and I want to feel better.
That's original series Star Trek movies for me.
Mm.
It doesn't matter. If I'm down for decades, it's been those movies.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Ted Lasso was the first time I watched something to feel better that Shatner wasn't in.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's just what those are for me. So it's nice mm-hmm. to have that feeling too.
No, it really is. And it's, you know, as the way the world is and the way it's going, I think it's important to hold on to that. Those pieces of media that make you feel that way, because it can, you know, it's a fantastic escape even just for a little bit.
Yeah. That's a really good way to close out your segment. So
I tried.
let's go to commercial. When we get back on the other side, 1989. Hey, look at that. I'm out of 1985. Finally.
Hey.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from the left show's J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life in a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at mondayinamerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America. $14.99 at mondayinamerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
What if there was one place where comic book fans could get everything? News, reviews, debates, and deep dives every single week.
And not just we read one issue and Googled the rest kind of takes. We're talking 15 years deep, over 600 episodes.
That's right. The world's greatest comic book podcast has been breaking down Marvel, DC, indie books, movies, and fandom culture long before it was cool.
Whether you're a lifelong collector,
a casual fan who just saw the latest superhero movie,
or someone trying to figure out where to even start,
we have got you covered.
We don't always agree, which makes it way more fun.
Yeah, way more fun.
New episodes every Tuesday.
Real opinions, real conversations.
Zero gatekeeping.
Check out the world's greatest comic book podcast at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hey kids, comics!
Hey folks, Jeff here. So, you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic, it's not about the software, and it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You could find more information at theleftshow.com. May 19th, 1989. Millions of demonstrators occupied Tiananmen Square in Beijing, prompting the Chinese government to prepare and officially declare martial law on May 20th, the next day. The ruling party officials announced that former Prime Minister Yasuhiro Nakasone would testify before Parliament regarding his role in the widening recruit influence peddling scandal, which I remember not at all. I got to be honest with you. That one's just going in one ear and out the other.
Yeah, it was like, I recognize Tiananmen Square. Like,
yes.
Who alive doesn't?
That was a big deal, that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the Japanese scandal, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, because of Tiananmen Square.
Yeah. It is. It's like a movie opening up against Spielberg or Pixar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Political and economic instability deepened in Panama following the annulment of the national elections by strongman Manuel Noriega's regime. Well, we showed him, I tell you what. The United States Supreme Court cleared the immediate path for a Florida teenager to obtain an abortion. Dun, dun, dun. Signaling ongoing legal battles over reproductive rights. Early media leaks and internal probes continued surrounding the tragic April 1989 turret explosion aboard the battleship USS Iowa, which claimed 47 lives. The box office was dominated. So this will let you know how well this did its opening weekend. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Oh, God.
And Field of Dreams were both released this same day. And then there's my little art house film, Roadhouse, with Patrick Swayze. I love this movie. It was directed by a guy named Rowdy. Rowdy Harrington. This movie I did not see in its original release. Like everybody else. I ended up seeing it on VHS years later.
Mm-hmm.
But it had a weird impact on me in the very few parallels I could possibly have with this movie. I was already a bouncer. I already had a code, you know, for how I behaved. I got my first fake ID so I could be a bouncer. Not to drink, but to be a bouncer.
That's really awesome.
It's
that's
just
really cool.
I just really loved it, the whole idea of it. So the rules, you know, you, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the rules. Three simple rules. One, never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected. Two, take it outside. Never start anything inside the bar unless it's absolutely necessary. I already had this rule. It's always best to do the brawling outside.
Well, yeah. Because nobody else is going to get hurt. There's no property damage.
Exactly. It gives you room and your backup can be there. And in two of the bars I worked at, the off-duty cop sat by the front door. Okay. And three, if somebody gets in your face and calls you a cocksucker, I want you to be nice. Rule three, be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, ask him to walk. Be nice. If he won't walk, walk him, but be nice. If you can't walk him, one of the others will help you, and you'll both be nice. I want you to remember, that's the job. It's nothing personal. You're nice until it's time not to be nice. Ah! In a movie with some of the worst bad guy dialogue I've ever heard in my meager existence.
Oh, yeah. I have thoughts on the villain that we will get to.
Yeah. So you've got Dalton. Dalton. Dangerous Dalton. Who once killed a man by tearing out his throat. Who apparently was a jealous husband and Dalton had been banging his wife.
when a man puts a gun in your face, you got two options.
Yeah. So then we you know, and then spoilers, we get to see him do it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're a monster, Dalton. Not Kelly Lynch's best on-screen performance I'm saying. But I do. I love this movie. Those were pretty close to the same rules I had written for myself as I worked. Now, I never tore anybody's throat out with my three clawed fingers.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a big guy and I punch real hard. And so I made rules for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it was time not to be nice, I spent several years being really quite not nice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what. But the feel of the bar that they got was pretty solid. I've worked in a couple of wannabe honky tonks and they did have that sort of just chaotic feel. Mm-hmm. And it was the bouncers, even more than the wait staff, that just sort of glided around in these little fields of anti-chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Where no matter where you went in the bar, if you were wearing the shirt, you know, everything was pretty chill there until you wandered off.
Mm-hmm.
So I did like the feel of the movie. But as I believe you would care to mention, it has several flaws.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, yeah, the small town domestic terrorist.
Yeah.
that is Brad Wesley. Just.
This is my town. Don't you
forget. Yeah, just. He started out like okay. Like just kind of like, honestly, I think if he had talked less, he would have been more intimidating.
Yeah.
Like if he was just kind of quiet and he was in the back and he ran, if the first time we got to see him talk was when he took, I can't remember his fucking name. The guy who was doing the shit with the pool cue in the bar.
Oh yeah. Johnny.
Yeah. Johnny.
Johnny.
I think if the first time we heard Wesley really talk was during that scene, I think it would have been far more impactful and far more intimidating.
And then kept him from talking for most of the rest of the movie as well.
Yeah, because there's one thing this dude does when he's on screen, and it's not shut up.
Yep. He's got a great voice, though. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
He had a really fun voice.
he's got the voice and he's got the demeanor of a very intimidating villain. And I think it's just held back by the dialogue.
such as it is.
And how he appears to be just a straight up sociopath who delights in destroying the town he runs.
Yeah. Yeah. I also have a problem with him being like 5'8".
Oh, yeah.
You know, and just enough past middle age that I did not take him seriously as a bad guy at all.
Yeah. Now you thought he'd be bigger.
If
you,
So here's the funny thing. Okay, wait. Let's criticize some more. The monster truck.
Okay. I'm glad that you brought that up because what?
I know. It's the first time you see it. They're just pulling into the house and for no reason because
I do think it was funny that they did Chekhov's gun with the monster truck where they show it in the first act and then use it in the third act.
Yep.
I don't think we needed to Chekhov's gun the monster truck. I don't think people were going to miss that.
Well, I don't know. If the bad guy just shows up in the third act with a monster truck, you're going to wonder where the fuck he got it. But apparently he has a couple of dipshits driving it around for him, even when there's only enough bodies they could have all fit in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. That tells you how cheap gas was in the 80s.
What else are we going to do with this monster truck besides smash a local car dealership?
I'm the local car dealer, and I'm upset with the town bully. Oh, hey, said the screenwriter. You know what we could do? Run over those cars with a monster truck. I better go back and write that into Act One so it doesn't look unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
I like the bit of business with the car.
You know, oh, yeah.
Where he parks his nice car and goes and gets a clunker because he knows it's going to get fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
I just took a cab to work.
Okay.
Yeah. I got my car fucked up one time. I was like, nope, not doing that again. I just took a cab to work.
Yeah, it only takes once.
Yeah.
I imagine you learn pretty quick.
I did. And somebody just keyed my car. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't bad. They didn't puncture the tires or anything. They just keyed the shit out of the side of my car, which really pissed me off. But mm-hmm. I'm just like, well, I don't want to deal with that anymore. Even if my car is a piece of shit, which it was.
Yeah.
But it was mine. You know, it was my mm-hmm. goddamn car.
Oh, yeah.
So, no, I just, this movie is fun still.
It's better than the sum of its parts.
Now, used to be my favorite thing, and now just makes me blush for my decade,
mm-hmm.
is the no reason for it nudity.
Yes.
You know, the first time you see nudity, you know, it's at a bar where it fit in.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, you know, it's the, you have the girl dance at the end for no fucking reason other than mm-hmm. she was considered 80s hot.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, there's no reason for that. There's no reason for it. A producer put this in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Somebody with money on the line wanted butts in seats.
Yep. Yeah. And that was a lot of the 80s had that where it was just out of nowhere, surprise boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm older, and my wife watches these fucking movies with me. And she is arguably a bit younger than I am by about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Not my fault. She came after me. That's all I'm saying. Don't quote me on that.
That's life.
Especially to her. But let me tell you. She thought I was cute. I had no fucking idea. Not at all. None. Sometimes you just have to be hit over the head with the obvious. So, yeah. Now, What's funny is that the night before this, we watched the new Jake Gyllenhaal Roadhouse, which bums me out because fucking Conor McGregor's in it. And I hate that guy.
I was, it's so funny that you bring that up because I was talking to Kat about that today because she had asked what we were doing for the show. And I had said we were doing Pacific Rim and Roadhouse. And I said that I liked Roadhouse. I liked it quite a bit. But it made me kind of want to watch the new one. And Kat was like, don't. She was like, the new one's bad, but it's like fun.
It is. It's I with it, every time fucking Conor McGregor walked on screen, I'm just like, ew, I hate this guy. Ew.
She said she liked it because she could tell that Conor McGregor was just hoovering cocaine behind the scenes.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yes. Yeah. But no, it's a lot of fun. Jake Gyllenhaal is so much fun in it. It is so much fun to watch him kick ass.
I like him when he pops up and stuff. Did you ever watch Nightcrawler?
Yeah.
Yeah. Loved him in that.
That was very good. Yeah, he's got talent, but apparently he's allergic to bathing.
Mm.
Have you heard this? He only takes a shower like every 2 weeks.
No, that's gross. Ugh. Stop doing that.
If I don't shower every day, I just feel wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I realize that's a first world glitch. Absolutely. Because I do, if you ever take a minute to think about time travel, I'm definitely going forward.
Oh, yes.
You know, or I'm only going back a little ways, you know, after the invention of fluoride toothpaste.
Mm-hmm.
That's important to me.
That's a boundary for me.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not going back to Shakespeare time. Can you imagine the fucking smell?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Just emptying chamber pots in the street.
Oh, and people thinking that taking a bath more than once a year is bad for your vapors or whatever.
You know,
your fluids. Yeah. No,
it's not because you don't bathe. It's because you have too many ghosts in your blood.
Yeah.
We're going to give you this. Here's, put some leeches on. Here's some cocaine. Come back in a week.
Yeah, but you can get, couldn't you get, I mean, when did they take the cocaine out of Coca-Cola? Wasn't that in the 50s?
Oh, man, I'm going to find out.
My phone's right here. I could just ask Google and then they don't have to listen to us type again. Which I don't mind.
1903.
Oh. Yeah, I don't want to go back that far.
Yeah, transitioned to using trace spent leaves in 1904, so they weaned them off. And then became cocaine free by 1929.
Takes all the fun out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there should be more cocaine in snacks.
I think at this point, it's like, what do we have to lose?
Hey, weight. That's what we have to lose. We have to lose a little weight.
Oh, yeah.
And just give
all these entrepreneurs that have gone undiscovered.
Yeah.
Not enough coke in circulation.
Yeah. Get Uncle Chubby some cocaine Coca-Cola and watch him work away the pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Zoom, zoom, zoom. My teeth are on fire.
Yeah. There's ants in my teeth.
Yeah. But no, I liked Jake. I liked Jake Gyllenhaal as Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I see him as a successor to Patrick Swayze? No, nobody's ever going to have hair as cool as fucking Patrick Swayze.
Oh, yeah.
Or might I add the thing we haven't talked about this whole movie, Sam fucking Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Elliott was on screen and Tiffany had quit paying attention before Sam Elliott showed up, and they showed him running his fingers through his hair and then tying it back in a ponytail, and I heard her go, oh. And I looked over and I'm like, Sam Elliott? She's like, yeah.
I could see it. She does like those
older dudes.
So I went into this movie almost totally blind. Like I know of Roadhouse because of its cemented place in popular culture.
Yes.
But you know, I'd never seen it. I'd never like looked at the cast. It was just one of those movies I just never got around to. And so Sam Elliott came on screen. I was like, holy shit, that's Sam Elliott.
Yeah, with that big fake limp.
Oh, yeah. The fake limp and the super long hair. No, yeah, I mean, he was good in this movie.
I did. I enjoyed the whole damn movie. You know, uncomfortable mm-hmm. boobies or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked Cody, Jeff Healey's character.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the other thing. The soundtrack on this movie was top shelf.
Oh, yes. It was amazing.
Jeff Healey was fantastic.
Yeah, he was great. I really liked the whole business with Red. Despite how goofy the ending of this movie is, I did enjoy it.
A polar bear fell on me.
Polar bear fell on me. I didn't see nothing. Do you see anything, Red?
Oh my god, it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
The whole damn movie's just fucking fun.
Well, I mean, it's on the IMDb, it is listed as a contemporary Western, which I do have to agree with. Drifter blows into a town where there's trouble. He cleans up, finds a girl he likes, and a reason to stay.
Aw. It is. It's like a song with yodeling in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I got nothing more on this one other than Kelly Lynch, you've done better work. Patrick Swayze, mm-hmm. Sam Elliott, you may not have. This may be your pinnacle.
Are you telling me you haven't seen Sam Elliott in The Man Who Killed Hitler and then Bigfoot?
No. Is that a movie?
Yes.
Was that one movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Follows Sam Elliott as an ex. I believe he's like CIA.
There it is.
He assassinated Adolf Hitler in an undercover mission. And then he's called upon by the government to hunt down Bigfoot because it's a carrier of a deadly plague that could kill humanity.
It's on Hulu right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know what I'm watching when we're done. You bet your ass. You bet your ass, mijo.
Love you, mijo.
No! What positive male example Sam Elliott set.
Oh, yeah.
Clear back in 1989, telling his buddy he loves him.
Mm-hmm.
I reached out to my buddy Jake just the other day, and I asked him if he heard about the gang of women that's been driving around kidnapping dudes with big dicks. And he said, okay. He said no, and I'm like, that's okay. I'll miss you. Their apartment is fantastic. Because that's how you reach out to a buddy. Is it not?
I mean, I don't know. I guess I grew up in a different generation. So, like, my friends who live, like, in the building next to me.
Yeah.
And even my friends who live a further away, I have no problem. I tell them I love them all the time.
Oh, I do it. And mm-hmm. and I do make others of my Gen X oration uncomfortable with it. Because mm-hmm. I don't give a shit anymore. If I love somebody, it's coming out of my face at some point in the year. You know, even if it's just for your fucking birthday.
Yeah.
At the same time, I can still say that one of my besties has a tiny wiener.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, some of the most vile names I have called people have been to my friends.
Uh-huh.
No, yeah, life is far too short to not let the people you care about know you care about them.
Yep. Yep. And that they have tiny wieners.
Yes, always let them know that they have tiny wieners.
Every time. All right, buddy. I'm going to go ahead and call that a show.
Yeah, that works for me.
Those of you guys that are listening, especially JC out there on his walk, he listens to us when he takes a walk. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I dig it.
Come anyway, to the shop. I miss you.
We're going to run over to Patreon right now, where you can join us at patreon.com/defenmedia, D-E-F-E-N media, every week that we record. We're over there on Patreon, dropping down the special content. the exclusive stuff. I don't know.
There are the things you can only hear behind a paywall.
Yeah, it's that is also true. yeah, good times. Anyway, join us over on Patreon, patreon.com. Braxton and I are going to talk about this week the top five pop culture hot topics.
All right.
Yeah, you're going to love this. You are not going to love this.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thanks, everybody. I'll see you next week.
We'll see ya.
Did you like the show? Join JM and Braxton on Patreon. Patreon.com/defendmedia. Each week they record, they upload additional content exclusively for the Patreon family. Patreon.com/defendmedia.